There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Hey there, welcome to the Bite Size Business Breakfast. What is it? Well, basically an opportunity for us to look back at some of the big talking points of the day and from the show on Tuesday, the 17th of March.
Stockpile the pasta. The aisles are empty at Asda. Stockpile the pasta.
We've been looking at what's happening in the aisles here in the UAE this morning. If you've been down to a supermarket, depending on which one you have chosen, you will notice that people are filling up their trolleys. Tom Harvey is the commercial manager of grocery at Spinneys. We've asked him what he's seen on the ground.
It has been an interesting week, to say the least, but we've actually been experiencing a lift in sales on some of the categories all the way since the middle of January when we first started to see some of the news coming out around the world. But without a doubt, the last few days, this week in particular, the only way to describe it is unprecedented in terms of the phenomenal increase in sales in customers that are coming through our doors. And they're coming through all the doors of all of the other supermarkets as well. We know everybody is extremely busy.
And we asked Tom as well, what are people buying the most of?
Pretty much anything. Without a doubt, there's the obvious ones such as hand sanitizer and cleaning products, where we are seeing the most phenomenal rises in sales. I'll give you a little bit of context. Our hand sanitizer sales last week, we sold as much in a week as we would normally sell in 10 months. That is the sort of level of increase in demand we're seeing for that. But it is everything that you've been talking about on the show already this morning. So canned goods, baby food, flour, pasta, anything that is long life. We saw very strong growth for the last couple of weeks. And we're now starting to see a lot of the fresh areas actually go into very, very strong levels of increase in demand. Things like meat, we would assume are actually now buying products to put in their freezer in terms of the phenomenal uplifts that we're seeing.
So what are you doing, we asked Tom, to reassure people that you do still have stuff? Because there's two reasons that people are filling up their trolleys, isn't there? There's the people who are working from home, self-isolating, quarantining, social distancing, wherever they are on that spectrum. And also people who are concerned that the stuff might not be there when they need it. Tom says there is no cause for concern.
Yeah, and we are. And I think the strong message, and I say this on behalf of the whole of the supermarket industry in the UAE, is don't panic. We absolutely have all got enough stock. Spinneys certainly has very large amounts of stock in the stores still, in the warehouse, and ring fenced with our suppliers. So we are not in a position where the UAE is going to run out of food, and we don't expect that to change. I mean, I would. If you look around the world in terms of what's happening, nobody is closing supermarkets. Supermarkets are going to stay open. We are an essential service. Borders are not being closed to freight, so food is going to continue to flow into the country. And we also have very significant amounts of manufacturing capability within the UAE. I mean, the toilet paper thing, we'd be fascinated to know what people are actually doing with it. But I know you were talking on the show last week about the guys at Fine. Up the road, we've got toilet paper manufacturing capability within the UAE. Drive down the Sheikh Zayed Road and you can see the Emirates macaroni factory, you can see the PepsiCo production facilities. There is a lot of production capability that we have here within the UAE to continue to supply food to our stores and onto the customers.
And that is Tom Harvey, the grocery commercial manager at Spinneys.
Who wants to know what we're doing with loo roll? Well, Tom,
yeah.
Just leave that to your imagination, shall we? We also, in the interests of balance, got in touch with Hanny Weiss. Hanny's the CEO of Majid Al Futtaim Retail. What does that mean? You might ask. Well, they're the mob behind Carrefour here in the region. So rather than just speak to one of the major supermarkets and hypermarkets, we spoke to a couple. In fact, we could throw it out to others as well. If you're listening in from Choitrams, Union Co-op, any of the others, we'd love to hear how you are dealing with the demands at the moment. Hani, for his part, though, we asked him, what percentage have you seen in people, bulk buying products, if you like?
It varies from one category or one family to another, but we are talking about an increase of from double the number of quantity that we sell usually to three and four times more, depends on the family again and the item products. Like you have the liquid soap, you know, grown by 400%, some other kids' items grown by, you know, doubled, tissue wipes definitely also more than doubled, 300%. So people are buying, I have to say, sometimes irrationally, you know, and overstocking.
We also took the opportunity to ask whether Hani and his team had seen a rise in the sale of electronic products.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. So all the materials that help employees and colleagues from around the UAE to work from home or study from home. So people have realized suddenly they needed to upgrade their laptops, their iPads, the connectivity, and what have you. So we see really a big uptake in the sales of electronics products.
Didn't see that one coming. One thing we have seen coming, certainly in the last 24, 48 hours maybe, is the evidence of empty shelves. So to the team at Carrefour, what are you doing to keep them shelves stocked?
You know, I know it is very challenging circumstances, but I want to assure our customers that we have a robust supply chain system and contingency planning that is enabling us today to respond efficiently to the increasing demand on grocery and essential items. We are also working very closely with our suppliers and partners in order for us to ensure, first, there is no increase in the price of any products on shelves available today, and that the customer will continue to enjoy all the products available on shelves. And our commitment also to the community to pay back, you know, during all this time. I mean, Majid Al-Futtaim exists in this market almost now for the last 25 years. And this is part of our duty to our people and community to make sure to offer to them all what they need and make sure that our shelves are always full for our customers.
Love that sentiment. Love the idea that the warehouses are full. Love the idea that the stocks are there. But that does beg the question, yeah, but what happens if this goes on for long enough for the warehouses to get a bit depleted? What about getting things into the country, other stocks as well? Has that logistics and supply line been looked at? Have they upped what they are, well, importing?
Yes, we definitely updated our fulfillment, you know, because we are on automatic system, so we updated the rates by four times more on all the staples, all the canned food, all the long life shelf products. We have secured enough product and stock on the staples and other commodities in our central warehouse in Jabal Ali. But we also taken, you know, another measures to create three or four additional hubs, warehouses in different cities in the UAE, making sure that we have product available across all our stores. And today in the UAE, we have more than 100 three stores available for our customers to come and enjoy, you know, normal shopping, I would say, as much as possible in this difficult times.
And if I see Majid Al-Futtaim.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
So anecdotal evidence is what we're going on at the moment. Brandy, you saw social media pictures of people binge buying, panic buying, call it what you will, in some rather strange places over the last few days.
Yeah, look, I will admit that there's a bit more pesto in my household than usual. I have some pulses. I've got some pesto, but it did not cross my mind at all to think, do you know what I need to go and stock up on? I need to go and stock up on fitness equipment. But I hear from friends that there were, within hours of the announcement that gyms were going to be closed, that there were people in the sports shops buying free weights, buying skipping ropes. Are my priorities wrong? I was thinking Mars bars.
Well, that prompted a little conversation from between us yesterday, and we need some expertise in on this one. Are we seeing a rise in the number of people buying fitness equipment to use at home as gyms, as we've heard, are temporarily closed because of the coronavirus outbreak? Let's ask the GM of Go Sport Middle East, Tom Foley, joins us live on the line. Tom, nice to have you with us.
Good morning.
Thanks very much indeed for being with us. Are you seeing an uptick with more and more individuals looking to take advantage or take care of their fitness at home in light of these unprecedented times?
We certainly are, and it's come quite suddenly and it's quite dramatic in the last couple of days in particular, particularly since the weekend. Home fitness equipment, large and small items, there's been a huge surge in demand for these items. Which has taken us by surprise. We predicted an upswing, certainly, but not to this level. And to Brandy's point, there has been empty aisles, and we're doing our best to replenish the stores in the evenings to be ready for the next day's trading. So there's been a big demand for things like treadmills and ellipticals and even full home gym units, down to smaller items like dumbbells, exercise mats, resistance bands, gym balls. And also we've seen an increase in what we would think are more individual sports that are even outdoor sports, things like bikes, big increase in junior and senior bikes, kayaks, stand-up paddle boards, where people are probably maintaining their fitness regimes, are staying fit, but doing it in probably more relative self-isolation, if that's the correct term at the moment.
Who's buying at the moment? Is it a cross-section?
It's across all age categories, genders. I think it's probably people who have a strong part of their daily routine is to participate in some sort of sport, keeping fit, people who go to the gyms quite often, and they're either replacing what they normally do with a different type of exercise, or they're trying to replace what they do in the gyms back home.
Buying a couple of bags of extra pasta or, of course, a running machine are significant differences as well, because some of the gym equipment you're talking about there take a significant investment, a long-term investment for many. Has that taken you by surprise?
Yeah, you're right. You can spend up to 15,000 on a home fitness gym, a multi-gym, and people are doing that. Now, we've always focused quite seriously on the catering for the person who participates in sports. So we carry quite a wide and in-depth range of all those products. But what has surprised us is the sudden surge, the sheer demand for this product from, you know, this isn't even peak home fitness time. We normally see an increase during the very hot weather when people are going from, we say, doing outside exercise like running onto a treadmill inside. So this is not at all our peak home fitness time. So to cater for that demand can be a bit difficult because the turnaround, you can't just produce this product and get this product delivered at short notice. You really have to forecast it quite far back, you know. So we are well equipped, but if this was to continue for 3-4 weeks, we would certainly run out and run low of certain product.
Are you having conversations with your suppliers, Tom? I mean, what can you do?
We are, but again, they would forecast along our lines, so they would forecast along regular retail demand, and we wouldn't have forecasted this level of demand at this time of the year. So for them as well to cater for the demand will become difficult at some point if this was to continue.
Tom, I appreciate that given your role, obviously, you can only talk from a Go Sport Middle East perspective. But I'm wondering whether, and again, this is a question we're putting to a lot of individuals at the moment, the sort of game-changing element of these unprecedented and unique times in a number of different industries. I mean, would there be an element of worry out there amongst the gym industry, that if people are investing in equipment, if they do find out that they can do their workouts at home as easily as paying their memberships over the course of however many years they do, could this be a bit of a game changer for the way that we go about training these days?
I don't think so fully. I think even people who go to gyms probably have some form of home fitness equipment in their homes. I think people like to do group classes, you know, spinning classes, yoga classes. They like to do that in a group format. So to do it at home, obviously you don't get the same experience. And I think when things return to normal, I think you'll find people going back to the gyms because of that social interaction with people.
Well, long may it continue from a Go Sport Middle East perspective. Tom, final little word from us as well with regards to obviously you and the policies at Go Sport Middle East. I suppose you are trying to find that fine balance at the moment of looking after your staff, your extensive staff as a general manager, both in stores and outside of stores, but also those demanding the products that they're looking for at the moment. Have you seen a sort of shift in policy with the way that you go about the working hours and the working practices of your staff?
Yes, we have. I think, you know, while the business has picked up in certain areas, the overall footfall in the malls has dropped dramatically. So that means we've been able to reduce our operating numbers, our operating staff down. And, for example, we have a climbing wall in our store in the Ball of Emirates, a 13-metre high climbing wall. That's closed for the foreseeable future. At head office, we've split the teams into two, so the two teams don't work in the office on the same day. We alternate between home and office. We've postponed all face-to-face meetings. So where possible, we've tried to reduce contact with people. But at the same time, we need to keep the operation going.
And one thing I haven't asked about is delivery. You mentioned there about coming into the malls as well. Is that a service that you have offered or do offer at present? Is something that you're looking to upscale?
Yes, no, we operate a home delivery service, a free home delivery service at the moment, and we assemble the equipment at people's homes when we do deliver. So that's the service we did anyway, and we continue that. Obviously, it's very busy at the moment, and we mightn't be able to deliver to you exactly when you want to. But we're able to cope. We've a number of delivery options, and we're able to get it to people in a timely fashion.
Tom Foley, General Manager, Go Sport Middle East. So much thanks to you for your time this morning and for giving us more insight into the changing situations out there.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast. The Business Breakfast's Pick of the Papers.
From a distance, the world looks blue and green, and the snow-capped mountains white.
Tom Urquhart on harmonies there. Bette Midler, the marvellous Miss M, as everyone spends a bit more time indoors. One of the things that we've been talking about in the Business Breakfast about what that means for telly. Noha Jadala is the head of content at Wavo, coming out from OSN. They're the ones that have a lot of HBO content. We had her in the studio recently to talk to us about whether or not we're seeing, with more people staying at home, keep your distance, not the time to go out, maybe the time to hunker down on the sofa. That's what we're recommending here on the Business Breakfast. And so we asked her about the uptick in people consuming streaming content at this time. This is what she said.
Definitely from a content and viewership perspective, we've seen a massive uptake in the last week or so, comparing view figures and, you know, active user figures from this past week to a comparable time back in Feb. We're seeing numbers as high as 30% up.
Is that 30% up in the time spent viewing, the number of people viewing?
Active users, basically. So whether that's new subscribers coming on board or our active base just engaging more with the platform.
So more people are watching, and she said they're watching for a bit longer. We asked her what they were watching. She said movies during the week are up. Normally it would be a weekend thing, apparently. But we're now watching movies during the week. Work from home, she says in inverted commas. Also watching a lot of box sets. And the thing that she said that was interesting to me was she said, we're watching a lot of older box sets, things like The Office, stuff that we've seen before. Because if you're multitasking, if you're sitting on the sofa with your laptop, you're working, something you've seen before you don't have to concentrate on as hard as something that's brand new.
Because the War Office, I was talking to her yesterday and she said that she's just started Prison Break. And I was like, where have you been for the last 20 years? And she said, well, because I sort of watched it last time, but I couldn't remember what happened. And therefore, I've started at the beginning and I've worked out that it's going to last me 35 weeks. So we should be fine by then.
I like the strategy. But that's also it for multitasking, for working from home, something you've seen before. You don't have to follow as closely. And it might also be what you need to do a little bit, because having a look at some news out of the UK, that the coronavirus is beginning to hit the television industry. We knew that it was hitting the movie industry, US box office records, the worst week since 1998. They reckon for the last weekend, worse actually than after September the 11th in terms of the takings. But obviously we have a lot of cinemas that are working at half capacity in the US, a lot of places where cinemas aren't going at all, including here in Dubai. Authorities have said, do not go to the cinema, stay home on your sofa, watch a bit of streaming. But I am now hearing out of the UK that Line of Duty and Peaky Blinders, the new series of both, series six of both of them, filming has been postponed. The company making them says they're going to be reviewing all productions on a case-by-case basis. People are saying it's going to be an unprecedented year of disruption for TV companies. That is according to The Guardian. A number of reasons. Firstly is where things are being filmed. One for Shruti, producer this morning. ITV's Love Island, normally filmed in Mallorca, may not be able to go ahead because getting into Spain at the moment, probably not. Health risk to participants, travel bans and all the rest of it. They're looking at a location in the UK. Will Love Island be the same in Skegness, I ask you?
I don't get this. I'm sorry. I really don't get this. Because on the one hand, that people are telling us to isolate, and I know that's one thing, you know, isolating in a villa with good-looking boys and girls or whatever it might be.
But not in Spain, but
anywhere, isn't it? So I don't understand how they can get it past go.
Well, they haven't got it past go yet. So let's wait and see if that even happens. There is concern any TV show that has to be filmed in front of a live audience obviously probably won't be or will be pulled. People are saying we're just going to all have to watch a lot of repeats. That's the noise from John McVeigh, who is the chief executive of the body that represents production companies in the UK,
yeah.
PACT. He basically says, get ready to revisit some old classics. Because the other thing is that it's very hard at the moment to get insurance for things like making big productions. I mean, could you imagine insuring Nicole Kidman against the coronavirus? That's not going to happen, is it?
No.
Imagine the underwriting. There is a lot of stuff in pre-production that is apparently facing shutdown. I say that as someone who has sold my book rights to a television company that is currently trying to sell them to an Australian television network. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen all of Prison Break, then your wife's got the right idea.
You have to go back to the old stuff because the new stuff it ain't forthcoming at the moment. I hadn't thought of that. I mean, that is, you know, forget your toilet roll wars going on at the moment.
Peaky Blinders!
No, the fact that there's the potential of there not being a Love Island season this summer, I mean, that's enough reason for me to relocate to the garden, I think. I think I'm going to have to go and hibernate or create a man cave because there's going to be a very unhappy household, that's for sure.
I think it's good for the sales of board games. What can you give me this morning?
A man that you might not ordinarily recognise, Rainer Becker.
Okay, you got me there.
Rainer Becker is a chef. Rainer Becker was in Dubai last night. Rainer Becker is somebody who you probably all know, but not immediately. He is a man who started out helping his mother in their kitchen. He soon caught the bug. He began cooking in his native cuisine.
That's an unfortunate phrase right now, Tom.
in Germany, before progressing
again
into French. He then moved to Australia, where he found a love of barbecue before discovering Robata in Japan, when he lived and worked in Tokyo for 6 years. Japanese food became his passion, thanks to healthy, tasty dishes that were more than sushi. So you know what? Moves over to London and creates a small little restaurant called Zuma.
Okay.
Now, Zuma launched in London in 2002. Zuma, Dubai branch was then born when Becker visited the Emirate in 2006. He opened in late 2007. Why is this interesting? Well, look at the success of Zuma since then. Zuma now available in 10 cities worldwide: London, Hong Kong, Istanbul, Dubai, Miami, Abu Dhabi, New York, Las Vegas, Bangkok, and Rome.
And rumoured Beckham favourite.
Exactly that, yeah. It's a standard bearer. It's a standard bearer of food and food standards. Ask anybody here about their favourite restaurant Zuma has been a go-to. Now, why am I talking about this and why am I talking about Rainer? I had the opportunity, as I mentioned, to meet him last night. He was in town to open his new concept, Rocca. Now, Rocca Dubai is opening tomorrow.
Okay.
18th of March opens its first international outlet here in the first international outlet anywhere in the world, off the back of 5 outlets over in the UK, which again are doing extraordinary business or have been doing extraordinary business. So why the interest? Chatting with him last night, and I couldn't ask for a humbler, more fascinating bloke to spend an hour with and listen to his story, etc., which is extraordinary. The reason it's extraordinary and the reason why I think we should all take note tonight is that when he launched Zoom in London with his partners, it was a couple of months after the 9/11 attacks over in the United States, so things were a little bit uncertain, to say the least. Mm-hmm. When he launched Zuma Dubai, it was at the back end of 2007, early 2008. We've referenced what happened in 2008 mm-hmm. here a couple of times in the past. So the fact that he's opening his latest restaurant here, again, with a backdrop of uncertainty, I think is enough reason for us to go, let's just believe the Rainer Becker effect, okay?
That
if
eventually
he believes this is the right time to launch, we're all going to be okay.
Just the highlights. This is the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
We've been looking at the impact of a lot of the safety shutdowns on the fitness industry. We're going to talk now and see what's happening in the restaurant industry. How are restaurants coping with less dine-in diners? A lot of people socially isolating, as is being advised around the world. Is delivery making up the shortfall? We're speaking now to Luma McAloof. She's the co-founder of Maze Tacos. They do exactly what you would expect. They're based in JLT. Luma, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Morning. Thank you for having me.
What have you seen in the last few weeks in terms of footfall?
We've definitely instantly saw a decrease in footfall and dine-ins, and that has to do a lot with social distancing, and then now the newest updates, which is people not working in the offices and mostly working from home. So in our area in JLT, we are slightly residential, yeah, but we rely a lot for lunch on the commercial side of it, which is a lot of the buildings that are literally right above our restaurant that have a lot of offices that now some of them are very big. We know them. They're our regulars. Are all working from home. So, yeah, we've definitely seen a decline in the footfall every day.
Are you seeing an increase in delivery?
Our reports seem to show that, yes. And it's quite a noticeable increase in delivery. We're actually exclusive to one platform for now. That might change really quickly. So we do monitor our numbers closely, and we're able to understand what's been going on. And yeah, it seems that there has definitely been an increase in delivery, especially in the last 10 days.
Is it enough to account for the lack of sit-down taco eaters?
No, not even close. I mean, we are a small family business that decided to go exclusive just so we can monitor the quality over the quantity. And I think now it's time to open up the conversation of choosing other reliable delivery platforms where we are able to sustain and make it through this if possible. I mean, there's just a lot of other things that we need to be looking for. I think opportunity is the biggest thing that we're focusing on now and trying to see what opportunity we can bring as much as possible and what value add we can bring to our loyals and our customers and the guys who, you know, we've gotten to know throughout the last 6 months.
And what can you do, Luma? I mean, obviously you're watching your bottom line. How much can you do in terms of special offers? What are the options available to you?
I think for special offers right now, I think what we and most of us should be focused on is enough margin to be able to sustain. And most importantly, just try to be as compelling as possible to your customer. But I don't think that's only what they're looking for. I don't think customers are just looking for a good deal right now. I think they're looking for safety and havens and, you know, trusted partners. And that's just frankly what I'm looking for. So I assume that my customers are looking for the same thing. In regards to value, we months ago launched a DIY box. So it was a box that basically puts kind of your taco party in a box and you set it all up at home. So kind of like a do-it-yourself concept. This is something that this is the time for us to be pushing that now with maybe free delivery and smaller packages. So even for just families of four or even families of two that want to have like maybe let's say three taco lunches a week and it's all do-it-yourself. It's something you can prepare at home. You don't have to come in. I think these are the kind of services people might be looking for right now, and that's what we should be pushing.
Luma, I just wanted to get your thoughts again on this one, because I know that we've talked in the past about the fact that, you know, this is your passion, your and Haida's passion. You've self-financed it. It's homegrown. You've got a great dedicated client base out there at the moment. That was before the unprecedented times that we came into the last couple of weeks. Is this when you rely on that client base? Is that when you rely on the loyalty that you've built up in the past in order to ask for a little bit back, a little bit of support through these tough times?
Oh, my God, totally. I mean, right now, the faces that I'm seeing every day when I'm going in are those faces that I've seen for 2 to 3 years. Even if your friends are not always there, you always have those people that have been following you around in within your entire journey who maybe are doing a little post for you on social media, who are shouting you out, who are saying, this is my trusted partner. This is not a time for us to kind of compete with one another. I think it's a time for us as a community to just, you know, stand together, egg each other on, see how long we can do this for and see how safe we can do it. At the end of the day, that's what it comes down to, is making people feel safe and comfortable. And like all over the world right now, owners are getting on social media platforms, they're getting on the radio, they're saying, you can trust us, we're here together, just don't give up on us. And I think that's kind of what we're able to see. Sure, the numbers might not be the same, you know, in terms of football and the equation, but you're exactly right. Those are the customers that we hope to see every day.
There you go then, tacos for lunch for the Business Breakfast team. Luma McAloof, co-founder of Mays Tacos, thank you very much for joining us on
the
show this morning.
Thanks so much.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.